Just a few thoughts on Ezekiel 2. Starting in verse 1, he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you. The Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Well, this is all very much the language that Ezekiel is later going to use in chapter 37 about the dry bones of the house of Israel who are lying there in a valley, and the Spirit enters into them and they stand up upon their feet, a great army, when the voice of the prophetic word comes to them and they hear that voice. Ezekiel then is sort of representative of the exiles. And of course, he was sitting amongst the exiles by the rivers of Babylon at this point. And so he is being shown what was possible for all the exiles. And indeed, all the exiles are being shown in this man, this son of man, who was representative of them, what was possible. But the connections are not simply between Ezekiel 2, Ezekiel himself standing up on his feet by the Spirit, and being given life, as it were. But they also, this language connects back to what we just read about the cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 1. We read there that the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. There was this massive, huge system of angelic cherubim whirring around with this awesome throne structured on top of it, with presumably the silhouette of God himself sitting upon it. The impression is of huge activity, and all the artists' impressions, I think, wonderful as some of them are, run into some difficulty in trying to express it all. And I think that's intentional, because the whole idea is that we're simply given the takeaway picture of a whirring, buzzing, extremely active system energized by the Spirit that actually can't quite be understood or portrayed in pictures, in visual terms, by any artist or any person. So then, this system is there with the spirit of the living creatures, and then verse 21 of Ezekiel 1, when those went, these went, when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up beside them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. This is all very much the language of Ezekiel 37, the dry bones standing up, being stood up, and being lifted up by the Spirit and living. And it's the language that we going to come across in the next chapter of what happened to Ezekiel, that he was stood up just as those wheels stood up and were lifted up because the spirit of the huge system above them got into him as it got into the wheels. And of course, in one sense, the living creatures have the likeness of a man. Again, what exactly that means, I don't know. I would sort of imagine that over the whole system there was the silhouette of a human being, of a man. And of course, this man in the first instance is Ezekiel. He is the one who is sort of put forth as the parade example of all this. And the Septuagint in the record of the cherubim talks about not the spirit of the living creatures, but the spirit of life, as if the spirit of life was put into these wheels, and when they stood up upon the earth, it's as if they stood up in resurrection, as if they were given life, the spirit of life, so that they could come alive. And so I think then that the takeaway impression is that there's this massive, whirring, buzzing, spirit-filled system, which is very hard for any human being to understand, in Ezekiel 1. And then in Ezekiel 2, you see how Ezekiel is treated as if he were one of those wheels. And the Spirit enters into him. He's told to stand on his feet, and the Spirit entered into me as soon as he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him. And as I say, this is all repeated in Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones of Judah in captivity, that they could have been revived in this way. And Ezekiel was the example. So, the gift of the Spirit, which was given to Ezekiel and could have been given to the exiles, is all part of the new covenant that he will talk about in Ezekiel 20. They'd broken the old covenant, and so they were offered, if you wish, a new deal. And that new deal was that they came alive, and they were made powerful by the Spirit of God within them. And, of course, Israel, Judah, for the most part, refused to accept that new covenant. And yet, that new covenant is that which is offered to us. In the New Testament, we take the cup of the New Testament, of the new covenant, that celebrates the fact that we're in that new covenant relationship. The new covenant, then, is about the Spirit. And God promises that he will put his Spirit in us that we too may live. But you've got to be willing for it. Ezekiel was willing, whereas the exiles generally were not willing because they assimilated into the lands of their captors. And that's the tragic, I think, impression that you get from the book of Esther, that they were doing pretty well, thank you. And they didn't really want to return. And when the opportunity was given to them, most of them remained. And the few who did return, as we know, didn't really return from the right motives. And as you see, Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, it's quite clear that they did not behave as they ought to have done and did not achieve the spiritual potential of the restored kingdom, which was possible. And so where does this place us? We are also in this new covenant. There is a huge system of Spirit operation going on around us and is seeking to get into us, to revive us, to give you and me spiritual life. And we may think that our lives sort of trundle along in a pretty pedestrian, mundane sort of way, pretty much like the person who lives next door. Same more or less sets of events happen to us. We get illnesses, we break our arm, we have problems at work, we have problems in our family, wear more or less the same kind of clothes, so forth. But no, for us there is a huge difference because there is this massive operation going on above our heads, as it were, because God is desperately trying hour and by hour, and even more than that, moment by moment, to bring you and me into his kingdom. This is the point. He is trying to lead us to the restored kingdom, and there is huge activity going on. So as cotton wool clouds drift lazily across the sky, don't think that God is not active. He is extremely active. Sure, we have to say yes to him. We have to be like Ezekiel and be willing to stand up on our feet. And he will revive us, just as he would have revived Judah in captivity, and they could have stood up on their feet a great army. Now they didn't, unfortunately. They resisted the Spirit. They didn't want the New Deal, the New Covenant. They clung on desperately to the Old Covenant, which was null and void anyway, because God said, you broke it. This Zechariah says, he takes a stick and he breaks it, and he says, there you are. This is to represent how the covenant is broken. It was broken by them, not by God. But the old covenant was over and done with. And yet, like a lot of people today, they wanted to desperately cling on to that rather than accept the movement of the Spirit, this new covenant that was offered to them, whereby they could be revived, whereby they would go far beyond mere religion and come to true spiritual life and restoration.